Let's get into the 13th chapter of Hebrews this evening. Lord willing, we may even finish Hebrews this evening. We'll see where it goes. And the Lord has put on my heart to, whether it's next week or the week after, if Jesus tarry, to begin Colossians. So do pray for the study, which I know you do. But the 13th chapter of Hebrews, and we left off in the 13th verse. And we'll begin there. It says, "Let us go, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach." Now, that comes from Psalm 45:10 and Genesis 13:14. But so impressed upon my heart this week in studying that is Philippians 3:10. I believe it has it all over it, that I may know him. It has been a real theme, I think, as of late upon my heart and upon this meeting, to know the Lord Jesus Christ. This Sunday, we'll be speaking a little bit about knowing him again. And I believe that any time you get into the Word of God, you'll understand that that is the great knowledge that he wants you to have, is to know him, to know whom I've believed. And that's different from knowing him as just your Savior. It's wonderful to know him as your Savior, to believe in him for salvation. But this is something that's so much more. It's the power of his resurrection, is it not? Yes, amen. It's the fellowship of his suffering. It's even to be made conformable unto his death. A lot of times we approach it, and people approach this as, what can I do for God? And again, you can look at these things, well, I got to be conformable unto his death. You don't got to be anything. God makes you that way. See, when you're a son of God, you can be led by the Spirit of God. That's the power of Jesus Christ. There's nothing of ourselves. It, again, is yielding. It's just accepting who you really are. It's already there, isn't it? The provision's been made. When you realize the new creation that is in our life, that he has given us, when we became a son of God, we got the power of Jesus in our lives. We have the power. And we'll talk a little bit about that this evening. But so wonderful that this is saying, I will go, no matter the cost. Knowing him is laying a hold beyond even that 10th verse. It goes into the 11th verse of the third chapter of Philippians. It talks about the out resurrection. See, when you go without the camp, there's a greater meaning there. And by his grace, we may even go without some other believers. How's that? Now, that doesn't excite you. I don't know what would. But that's what it's talking about. There is to be ready, to be longing, to be looking for him, to be loving his appearing. I appreciate in my household, my little man, as I call him. I call him my little lamb sometimes. I call him some other things sometimes, too. But mainly he's my little joy guy. And he's been a little bit concerned about, well, Daddy, am I going to be ready to go? Daddy, are you going to go, and am I going to be left, and what am I going to do? And the boys were talking about, they had it all planned, that if mom and daddy left, I don't know where they got this idea, but they had the money stored away, and they were going to New York City because they felt they could blend in. I don't know where they're going to blend in, but I don't know where that thinking comes from, but it shows you how we can get confused when we get fearful, huh? Amen. But I appreciate that thinking. I appreciate that the Lord's tugging at even a heart that's that young. He's dealing with him, see. But it's not in fear that we'll approach that kind of relationship with Jesus Christ. It's in love. It's in expecting. He's my expectation. It's not in fear that I'm going to heaven. It's in, that's my place. Amen. That's where I belong. That's my citizenship. That is the family that I have. I've been so inspired the last couple of days. The Lord truly has renewed my strength in him. I just, a great joy has come back over me, more so than has been there. I just am thrilled. What an opportunity. What a true privilege to be a Christian. What a privilege to be given out the Word of God. So I appreciate your prayers, because I know that that's where that comes from as well. But this is the highest of callings. But it's going to take bearing his reproach, as it says here. Now, bearing his reproach is not a popular walk. Even with other Christians, it's not a popular way. They may call you weird. They may call you somewhat an exclusive person. They may even call you arrogant. And you heard me say before, there were people that I know that knew Brother Hill, and I don't believe they really knew him. They said, well, he was arrogant about it. Sometimes great faith, believe it or not, has an arrogance that we would think that it's arrogant, but it's not. It's just knowing. When you know something, it's fact, is it not? Now, come on. Let's say it how it is. I mean, and the way I used to kind of explain this to people is I said, do you think Michael Jordan had to be shy or whatever to say, well, I'm the best basketball player out there? Well, I think if you're going to argue with me on that one, I'm not going to argue with you. Yeah, I think it was fact he was the best basketball player when he walked out on the court. That was it. How much more so when you're talking about Jesus Christ? It's just fact. It's just it. That's where I belong. That's where he's got me. And by the grace of God, when we have that faith, it's our keeping power. It's peace. It's everything to us. It's because I believe that he is, that it's going to be. It just is that way. I know that the word of God is true. I know that it's for me. I know that the promises that he's laid out in this wonderful words of life are for me. And God doesn't lie. I may not see these certain things come to pass right away, but I know it's there for me. I know it's already been answered. I know I've already been healed. That's something the Lord has always been just dealing with me on my heart as of late. You are already healed. I don't care what you're in. It's finished. Do you believe that? I do. That's the place he wants us to be. It's just, again, attaining that wonderful love and faith that he wants us to have. But there is a more perfect way. You could even ask Apollos. He had a great zeal for the Lord. And I appreciated his zeal for the Lord. I appreciate many people's zeal for the Lord. But there was a more perfect way. And Aquila and Priscilla were able to bring that to him. And it was in the Spirit. And it was in the truth. And it was in Paul's gospel. And that's where we're at tonight by the grace of God. So, in order again to have this barren as reproach, we must be as a Rebecca. That's willing to leave the familiar. You know what I'm saying. Willing to leave the comfortable. To go on beyond the good, beyond the acceptable, and by faith venturing even into the perfect will of God. And the perfect will of God is going to be full knowledge. It's going to be knowing Him. It's going to be an intimate knowing of Jesus Christ. Knowing His ways as a husbandman. Knowing His love as my spouse. And I'm going to tell you something I found with the Word of God and with going on with Jesus Christ, that courtship begins in separation. It truly does. He has got to get you alone. It's not going to happen in large groups. It's not going to happen in big hype. It's going to happen in stillness. It's going to be the still small voice that's going to capture you. And then by the grace of God, believe it or not, it's going to continue in that revelation that Jesus Christ is the still small voice that's whispering those words of love to you. It just happens. It's such a beautiful thing. And I love, by the grace of God, the courtship that I've had in my life. My wife has me quit talking about it at certain times, but I appreciate how the Lord's brought those things to me. When it's real, it's whispered. It's quiet. You just know it's there. You know what I'm saying? I always had, I think it's wonderful to show expression. Don't get me wrong. But I always thought, you know, people hanging on each other and different things like that. You know, I'll give you my little opinion. But I do think there's a godly way to behave. I do. I believe there's a godly way to behave. But I believe when that was going on, it wasn't real. That's a special time. You know what I'm saying? And there's a special time with Jesus. It's precious to be with people of like faith. We're having that intimate time right now. And that's a beautiful thing. Because, see, that's the omniscient God, the omnipresent God that we serve, that is beyond our understanding, that He can bring us into that intimacy right now, even though we're among other people. Because, you know what? We're all of one body again. Isn't that just amazing? Now we're getting into another dimension and my brain just blew up. But, you know, I just have to believe Him. And that's the way God's going to be. But that's how He wants us to be, is in that kind of relationship with Him. And it, again, it's the precious stone that Jesus is looking for, as opposed to the wood, hay, and the stubble. And it's a rare walk. All right, verse 14. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. And really what that's getting at is don't sink your roots down too far deep in this earth, huh? In this world. What do you think, huh? See, we don't want to get too attached here. We truly are just passing through. This is a temporary place. This is a temporary place that He has us in, that we truly have a mansion over there. It's got to be real to you by the grace of God. That really needs to be our vision, that this is just a moment in time. It's a precious moment in time. Don't get me wrong. But the things of this earth, they don't matter. See, we get so bent out of shape. And I think really by the grace of God, that's that maturity that He brings us through. Is it really didn't matter, did it? All that matters was Jesus Christ. You know what I'm saying? Now, I think that we do things as unto the glory of God. Whether we work, whether we're digging that ditch, we dig it to the glory of God. I think there's a wonderful thing in that. Don't be slothful. I believe when we're lazy, when we have idle hands, I believe that we're rebelling against God. I'm telling you, I believe the Word of God tells us that. I want a testimony. I want to magnify Him. I don't serve with eye service. I serve with a willing heart. And see, there's a testimony in that. People will say, "Oh my, what makes you that way?" They don't want to know what makes you lazy. Well, they already know what makes you that, huh? But when you're serving by the grace of God, someone that doesn't even deserve it, what do you think, huh? A boss that might be a mean person, cursing, doing different things, but yet you bring the love of God. David brought a harp, folks. Saul was a mean man. He had a mean spirit about him, an evil spirit. Now, David had a lot of reasons to kill him, didn't he? But he brought the salve all the time to him. I'm telling you, this is a love match. I appreciate Brother Kevin bringing that out so many times. But those finishing touches of what He's doing in our life is going to be love. And this is the love of God that He wants us to have. Yet again, we get so into our flesh because we get attached to things here, don't we? We do. In a moment. And I'm telling you, even no matter what position you have, I'm telling you, in a moment it can happen. The devil is subtle, and he knows by the grace of God when the Lord allows him to see it. And remember, the Lord's got to allow him to see it. Okay? Your weaknesses. Because you know what? That's when God wants to be your strength. But He'll back those things off. But sometimes we get attached to a home. Sometimes we get attached to a job. Sometimes we get attached to a person. I said many times in here as of late with Brother Hill, how I appreciated Brother Hill. That was my pastor first, and I want you to know that. So, a debt that I could never repay. And I believe many of us would say that today. Such a wonderful shepherd that the Lord had given us for so many years. But wouldn't it be a shame if I loved a person so much that I missed God's best? Come on. We're going on by the grace of God. That's where we have been put. We're on that journey. God is having us follow a message, not the messenger. He is having us follow a message, and it's a sweet message. And it's just like Sunday nights. I was talking to a few of the different brothers and stuff, and how the Word of God is presented in a different way. It's still the same meat, folks. I hope you understand that. I would hope we would come out and stand in defense of the gospel. Stand for our brothers and sisters in Christ that may be bringing out the Word of God. Because it's the Word of God. That's what encourages us to come. Everybody might have a different take on it and whatever, but I appreciate it. Somebody might bring out a lobster that night and a prime rib this night and a tenderloin that night. What do you think, huh? I want to enjoy it all. See, I'm trying to get my son to enjoy all these different types of foods, but he just likes Fruit Loops. So, but we got to get him going, see. And I don't want to be like that with God. I want to enjoy the full dining banquet. And that's what He wants in our life. I'm telling you, there's an analogy there that's true. But we don't want these things to define us. We don't want our homes or our jobs or our heritage defining us because it'll rob you. I've heard many people say, "Well, I'm so-and-so. Well, my grandma was a blah-blah." And it truly, that's really what it amounts to, is so-and-so and blah-blah. It really is. You are a son of God. Do you realize that's who you are? Now are we the sons of God. What else could it beat that? What could be higher than that? There isn't anything. Your citizenship right now is in heaven. And I'm an heir of the eternities. I was thinking today, I'm a part of God's wonderful family. Yeah. I'm a part of God's wonderful family. Think of that. Let that just rest on your pillow this evening when you say, I can call you Father. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Amen. So many things God is to us. I appreciate it. But that's going to take us getting over ourselves. It really is. Again, ourself is the thing that's going to get in the way. But we need to get into Jesus and we need to rejoice in Him, to rejoice in what He has made us, what we are right now, and by the grace of God, what He's going to bring us into. He's going to bring us into something, and you know it, and He's telling us about it. Now, it's the measure of faith. What are you going to take from Him? See, I want the faith to believe everything in this Word. I want that kind of faith. I want great faith. And when I have that kind of faith by the grace of God, I'm going to see the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to know Him because I'm believing that He is. Isn't that precious? There's peace in that to me. There's victory in that to me. There is wealth in that. And I am so thankful to Jesus Christ for that. And I'm thinking too is on that, it makes life so much easier to live this way, doesn't it? When I know that this life, again, as we said, is but a moment, that everything's going to pass away, but the beauty of the Lord that is built through faith and patience in my life is by the grace of God going to reap the wealth of forever. I love that. I just love that. Okay, let's go to 15 and 16. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Continually, not sometimes when I feel like it. Continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. See what your mouth can produce? It's an amazing thing. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Now, you have to remember that Paul and some of his apostles that were with him were literally banned from venturing into other cities and giving out the word of God. They did not have a continuing city, and truly we don't have a continuing city. Now, by the grace of God, you can even go to many Christians and you can start talking about the things of God, and it's a sweet thing. But I'm telling you something, you start talking eternal security, you start talking about, now, not just Pentecost, I'm talking about real Pentecost, where you're saying, hey, do you believe in the infilling of the Holy Spirit? Oh, yes, I do. Oh, so you understand that that's evidence of that is the infilling, is the evidence of speaking in tongues. And then it got quiet, didn't it? Who's this nut I'm talking to? Then you start talking about, now, wait a second. There's a high calling, and the whole church isn't the bride? Now, that's separating things, brother. You don't want to go there. I just want to go where the Word of God's going to take me. And it's all over that precious Word of God. I'm just telling you. There's a high calling, so there must be a lower calling. There's an out resurrection. Oh, hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? There are ones that are seen as the sun glory. Not just a reflected moon glory, but the sun glory. Hallelujah. There's ones that are going to be taken prior to the tribulation ever beginning. I love that. That's the ultimate set apart. That's where I want to be with Jesus Christ, is I want to be set apart with Him by the grace of God in the throne. Oh, hallelujah. So good. But God reminds us that we don't have that continuing city here. But He says, you know what? I don't want you to be sad in these verses. There's a reward that you have. And there's something by the grace of God that I'm going to let you do for me. And He lists three things out here. And He faithfully gives us these. And these three things, no less, as we just read here, are produced from that vile mouth. Can you imagine that? I was thinking about how vile that mouth can be. You know what I'm saying? Again, if you use it in the wrong way, you know, things get out of there, God forbid. That's why I say, set a watch before my mouth, Lord. I really do. I know we're diamonds cutting diamonds. Don't get me wrong. I understand that. But and I want to be used however God wants me to be used. But, you know, I do believe in the will of God is love. And I want to love to encourage and exhort my wonderful brothers and sisters in Christ and edify God's love. You know what I'm saying? Bring that wonderful benefit to your life. But the three wonderful offerings of sacrifice that the Lord gives us here that we can speak the sweet praise is the first one is praise. The second one is to do good And the third one is to communicate. And hallelujah, if you notice here in that 15th verse, it says, with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Well, the only way that I can please Him is with one thing, and that's faith. So all of this must be in wonderful faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And this is what's going to be put in there when we're under the hand of God and in His love. Thank you, Jesus. So spiritual fruit always pleases God. And the first one here is praise. And I'll just talk about each one of these for a moment. But I was thinking about praise again. Praise is so sweet. You know, when we go into a church service, I kind of feel like you're always on the mountaintop, aren't you? It's easy to sing praise on the mountaintop. Now let's get in the valley. We ready to go? We ready to sing sweet praise to Him in the valley? When we're being tested in body, when we're losing a job, when, like I said in that little analogy I gave you, is that you praise Him when you find the parking place right next to the store. Do you praise Him when it's full and you had to go park in three? You know, I was in the mills the other day, and I'll tell you, I think I had to park back at my house to get into the mall. And that's about the truth of the matter. So, praise Him. Do you believe that He directs and orders your steps? I believe He does. I believe He's concerned with every single thing about me. He knows my thoughts afar off. He knows what I'm going to even think. That's a God that cares for me. That's a God that loves me. I'm convinced to give it to Him. See? Somebody that loves me so that I believe that is I am, I'm going to bet it all on Him. That's the good one. I'm going to tell you, He's so good. Don't draw back. It only hurts us. Do you know that? When we draw back, it truly only hurts us. It does. It really does. And again, it's self. Don't try to blame it on different people. Don't blame it on your situation. Don't blame it on your kids, your husband, wife, your ex, whatever it may be. You'll miss out when you draw back. You'll miss it. It's too good. He's sitting there, He's saying, I love you. I want to bring you into the best of the best. And you know Him as your Savior. I believe everybody in this place today knows Him as your Savior. And I believe most of you are filled with the Holy Spirit. And praise God for that. Now don't play around with Him anymore. You know what I'm saying? I don't think we'd be here tonight if we were playing around with Him. We're getting serious about things. On a Wednesday night, you're not out in the world on a Wednesday, a hump day they call it. You know? You're supposed to be getting the feel-goods right now, aren't you? Aren't you thankful you know what the real feel-goods are? Oh, hallelujah. Those feel-goods are feel-bads and going to have a headache in the morning. This is the one that will get you singing at night and thrilling in the morning. And you're looking for that morning that's going to come, that's going to be forever. Thank you, Jesus. See, that's our wonderful Savior. Next, to do good. It says in the Word of God to all men. Do you imagine that? Especially them of the household of faith. And how about those that despitefully use you? Have you gone there yet? What do you think? I want to get there. And it says, it gives you a little benefit. I always appreciated that. It's like heaping hot coals on their head, huh? Now, why do you think He told us that? Because He loves you. He does. And He's taking care of that. That's His vengeance, is it not? Have you ever seen your enemies taken care of? Oh, I believe you have. Don't tell me you haven't. He takes care of you all the time. All the time. Amen. He never forsakes you. All right, now communicate. Stand, withstand. And it's communicate, forget not. See, we're a creature that forgets so quickly, aren't we? You think about those Israelites. Here they went, that God took them right out of that Egypt, took them across the Red Sea, dry ground, and then destroyed Pharaoh's army. And it wasn't even within 3 days. Again, they were just mocking and swearing and saying to Moses, get us back there. It would have been better for us to be in the hand of Egypt. Can you imagine that? And then, because they're going to die of thirst, and then here comes the water out of the rock. And then so long later, what? We're going to die of starvation, aren't we? And we're not going to have this. Now, let me tell you something. That's you, too. That's our flesh. It's our lack of faith. When we go through the day and we don't, by the grace of God, rely on Him for everything. For everything. That's the sin that so easily besets us. Now, do you see how much we need God? And how much we need grace? Because that's the only thing that's always going to get us into God's will, into God's best, and by the grace of God, out of our pity and our self-condemnation, you know what I'm saying again, to get into the things of God. What a wonderful Savior that we do by His grace we serve. So again, this is studying, ready to give an answer, showing thyself approved, a workman rightfully dividing the truth, spreading God's Word. I was thinking again how the Word of God tells us how beautiful are the feet of them that preach and spread and give the gospel of peace. Isn't that wonderful? I think about you ladies, and I'm sure there's some men out there too that love to get them pedicures and all of that. And my wife is always on me sometimes. She says, oh, you ought to go get your feet rubbed and all that kind of stuff. And I was thinking this the other day. I said, well, if I hold still long enough, I think I'm getting the finest one I could ever get. What do you think? Amen? Amen. All right. Verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you. Submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. Now, in verse 7, we started with this thought, back in verse 7 of the 13th chapter there, of those that are leading the saints today. And in verse 7, it was remember, be prayerful for them. But now it's even stronger. And again, this word obey means to lead. I want to make sure you understand that. The one you always obey is God. It's His Word. But this word, better translated, is to lead. But so important, this leading, is to trust or to have confidence in. Now, I know many of you would say, well, wait a second, brother. I'm not supposed to have confidence in you. We're not supposed to have confidence in man whose breath is in his nostrils. But we are to put our confidence and trust in the Lord. And that's precisely and exactly what this is saying. We can trust one another in God. Do you understand that? God in you. It's the faithfulness of God in you that thrills me. And by the grace of God, that's a mutual thing. I would hope in my life, it's the faithfulness of God that encourages you on into the things of the Lord. That's all we can put our trust in is God. But by the grace of God, I know that my brothers and sisters do have that new creation. Now, I'm not going to go blindly and stupid and just say the different things that I'm trusting someone because of their abilities. Do you understand that? It's God's ability in them. And I pray, and that's the biggest thing that we have to do by the grace of God, is everything in prayer. And that's going to give us wisdom. It's going to give us knowledge. And by the grace of God, it could even give us discernment in certain situations with brothers and sisters in Christ that we know that God is dealing with us as unity in the Spirit. You understand what I'm saying? And that's when we can get on with one another and go on in the Lord. See, when the Lord has me to trust in certain ones, I was thinking within the church, again, you know, the certain ones that the Lord puts up for teaching, for Sunday school, for the CD ministry, to take care of the church, the maintenance, the sweet brothers that I and sisters that I counsel with in different things here in the church. It's not the person that I'm trusting in, it's God. It's God. And people would look at me sometimes when I'm talking to someone about something. Well, I said, God put that on my heart to ask them. Well, shouldn't you ask so-and-so? No. God put it on my heart to go to that person because that's where the Lord led me. And I have to go there. And I would pray that we would support one another in that by His grace. Not that Jesse's always perfect, because I'm not. But God is. And by the grace of God, He's going to protect this meeting. He's going to protect the people. And if I do it willingly, hallelujah, I'm going to have a reward. Isn't that a wonderful thing? See, we're all going to have a reward by the grace of God. And it's going to be a wonderful thing and so precious when we can run together. But again, we trust God. Hallelujah. And God appoints our leaders. And it's to trust God as the head of the church when we trust our leaders. And why again? Because they watch for your souls. And I'm telling you, when I read something like that, that's pretty overwhelming. That's pretty awesome. It really is. That God has caused me to watch for your souls. I was laying on the floor the other night. My wife asked me why I was laying on the floor looking at the ceiling. And I said, because God has entrusted me with your soul. And she said, what are you talking about? I said, well, it's in Hebrews 13 again, and I've been there and been reading that for, you know, a few months now, and it kind of hit me again. And I got in a tizzy, and I got dizzy, and I had to lay down on the floor. But see, it's not me. But it's a great responsibility. It's the greatest responsibility that I've ever had, and I trust Him by His grace. And I want you to know that I'm completely inadequate in myself to do that job. And everyone you've ever met is completely inadequate in themselves to do that, except for God. But see, I know that He's my ability. Hallelujah. And I know that He has put me in a place, by the grace of God, to do that. And you know what? There's a simplicity in Christ. He was just encouraging me again today. He said, you know what, brother? All I want you to do is I want you to preach the Word. What do you think? Preach the Word. Oh, hallelujah. Stay in the truth. Hallelujah. You are His sheep, and He has just asked me to tend for your spiritual welfare. Now, that's an awesome job. If I got to thinking about that all the time, I'd be over there where it said I would be doing it in grief, wouldn't I? I'd have a rain cloud on my head all the time. See, I want to do it in joy. See, I want to be a warrior. I really do. I want to be a warrior for Jesus Christ. I was encouraged. I'm going to tell you something, and I'm not trying to promote anything, but I think it might be good for you, and I hope the Lord would encourage you with it. They have a little show out called Narnia, and I'm going to tell you something. There's some analogies in that that man saw that was an atheist that God brought to know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that is just a wonder. And that's a wonderful thing. And I appreciate that the Lord used a couple of those things in taking the kids out to encourage my life. Don't think you're above anything. Please don't. Don't. Get over yourself. Rejoice. However Christ is preached, I therein do rejoice. Do you? I hope you do. I really do. Because that's going to be more of the love of God. The more of the love of God I get, the more I'm going to go into this wonderful Word and read the wonderful promises that He has for me. And by the grace of God, it's going to lead me right into the high calling of God, of Christ, of God in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise His name. But I'm a shepherd, and I must give account to God. Again, you're His sheep. And it's quite overwhelming. He's asked me to preach the Word, feed my sheep. And as I yield myself to that, I trust Him. I trust Him that you would submit, that you would pray. Because again, that is your duty under the hand of God. And to watch for this ministry. We've been talking about the last few Sundays. There's a thing called the bond of perfectness. And that's what He wants to bring us into. And it's an awesome thing. That's the last finishing touches of the mystery of Christ. You're going to read that in Colossians by the grace of God. If Jesus tarry, we're going to read about that. But that's going to lead us into the joint heirship rank. Last thing I'd like to say on this is in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's turn there. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 16, 17, and 18. It says, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. And I'm telling you, I really am so appreciative of how the Lord brought me into the ministry. I know that sovereignly, I didn't hear His voice audibly, but I know He said this. I don't have to have you for this, son. I would like you to have this, but you know what? My will is going to be done. So, do you want it? By the grace of God, I want to do what His will is for my life. And you know what? We're going to cross those bridges every day. We're going to talk about that day, maybe Lord willing, on Sunday. But that day is a big day, and we face that day every day. But great is thy faithfulness. How's that? But yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. See, it'd be woe. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me, what is my reward then? Verily that, when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. See, it's for my benefit and by the grace of God. That's what I pray is, Lord, you know, again, you've heard me say this, and I don't want you to think I'm odd in saying it. I want to have the joy of the Lord as my strength. I want to have that by the grace of God. I know that there's going to be trying times. I know that there's going to be sorrowful times. Everything's got its season here, folks. I'm going to tell you. Sometimes you're going to be on the mountaintop. Sometimes you're going to be down lower than low. You'll be, you know, the worms, you'll be looking up at them, huh? But I'm telling you, you know that God is for you. And I want to rejoice by the grace of God even when He's got me low. I want to have fun with Jesus Christ. I really do. I want it to be fun. It's a wonderful, wonderful walk with the Lord. I've had it for 40 years, and by the grace of God, I don't want it to change except more from glory to glory, even into His same image. Hallelujah. And I believe Jesus Christ was joyful, and it said that He was even joyful on that cross. Huh? The joy that was set before Him. I know He was looking at me. I don't know why, but He gladly died for me. He gladly died for you. That excites me. Thank you, Lord. All right, let's go to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 18 now. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in the things willingly to live honestly. So again, pray for your teachers, your ministers, that God would protect, encourage them to be our sustainer, to have a good conscience, to live honestly. And I'm going to tell you, you've seen enough people go by the wayside. The media will throw it right out there for you. I'm going to tell you, you have a Christian that went wrong, you're going to read about it. Oh, it's going to be everywhere because it's funny to the world, isn't it? Oh, there was that godly man. Look what he did. Look what that godly woman did. See? Pray for him. Don't get on that bandwagon. But for the grace of God, there go I. And I'm thankful for those that have gone before us. And I'm telling you, yeah, they may have not been the most mature Christians in the vision that they had, but you know what? There's still a value and a great value in one talent and two talent if you do what the Lord wants you to do with it, huh? Don't think yourself too high and mighty. You'll miss it. You've been given a great dispensation. We have been given great grace in this place to hear the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But I'm going to tell you, your self-righteousness creep into that and your arrogance creep into that. The devil just robbed you from it. He robbed you. But I want to have a good conscience for Him. And I want my reward to be by grace as much as yours. And I commend this congregation I put down here, that the attitude of love and the building of faith that I've seen in your lives by the grace of God over these months has encouraged me so. And I mean that. I'm not throwing roses at you. I'm just giving the love of God back to you, that I appreciate the love of God in your lives. And it's vital for this ministry and it's vital for this meeting. And we need to pray. We need to pray for one another. And we also need to covet prayers from one another as well, too. I know sometimes there's been people that, you know, they say, well, I'm praying for you. Well, why are you praying for me? I'd say, thank you for praying for me. I may not even know why I need the prayer, but thank you for praying for me. What do you think about that? We're all, again, part of the same body. If this finger, I got a little hangnail down here, the hangnail doesn't ask me why I'm caring for it. I just know that it needs to be cared for, huh? We're a body. You got to get out of this. You got to get into this. And then you're going to start understanding this. And that's the whole precious thing about the Word of God. But prayer is the power. Prayer is salve. Complaints, they harm. They hinder the meeting. I'm going to tell you that. See, God puts up whom He will. God puts down whom He will. And if He doesn't do the choosing, I'm going to tell you, trust Him. You know what? If that person wasn't supposed to be there, they're not going to last. And I'd encourage us someday on the other side, if you wanted to, go ahead. If you ever get the time and he does too, ask Brother Hill, if God does the choosing and you yield, He'll sustain you. It's just a fact. Facts are facts. Makes a lot of people quiet sometimes. I believe you're agreeing with me. You might be a little tired tonight. But you say that to some folks that don't understand what you're saying. I'm not being arrogant. I'm just saying facts are facts. And the truth is the truth. And if God before you, who can be against you? And if you're God's anointed, you know what? You better get behind God's anointed or you're going to get run over. And it's not going to be pretty. So I'm just telling you, pray for one another. All right, verse 19. I would like to finish this up this evening. So if we can bear with this another, say, 10 minutes. I think it's went pretty fast. I think we'll get through this and close this out. Verse 19. But I beseech you, rather, to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. This, again, is precious Paul, if there was ever any doubt, in Roman prison, as we know here. He's asking prayer for his release and his reuniting with them. See, there is a big thing even for Paul. Just think of what he knew. Just think of the dispensation, again, that God had given this man. But he desired to get back in the fellowship with the saints. The much the more as you see that day approaching, let this speak to you. This is the one that God used to write the mystery of Christ. Yet he wanted to get back with those lower knuckleheads, huh? No. Of like faith believers to get in there. He wanted to get amongst the coals because even the Apostle Paul knew by the grace of God, he needed that love in his life reciprocated that it just made him grow brighter and brighter. Isn't that wonderful? And that thought was continually on him as he wrote these letters in solitude. Isn't that precious? That Jesus Christ had that wonderful yearning and desire and love to get back with the saints. Pray for those that are away from the meeting. I've heard people before, oh, I can't believe they went away from the meeting. Pray for them. Pray for them. Pray that the Lord just is encouraging them. That's the first thing. Pray that the Lord just reveal Himself to them. Then if God will them to come back and to be amongst us, wonderful. If they have God's best away from us, that's all that we could ever pray for. What do you think, huh? Don't we want God's best in people's life everywhere? Do they have to be in Living Waters? You're going to miss it by the grace of God if you think that this is an exclusive club just because we're in this building. What do you think, huh? Pray for them. Pray for them. Oh, hallelujah. This is God's love we're talking about. I want to have the kind of love that my brother Paul had. He said, follow me as I followed Christ. Read what he did. Read how he believed. Read how he loved. Oh, it's an amazing thing, isn't it? Okay, verse 20 now. This is the benediction. This is the closing. It says, now the God of peace, and he is a God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, and God of peace. Turn over with me to Romans 5:1. If you would, Romans chapter 5, verse 1. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have what? We have peace with God. Okay? Now remember, let's say you're caught up into something today. Let's say you've got something going on in your life that you know is not right. You may even be running hand in hand with the enemy. Let's read what we just read. Therefore, being justified by faith, not by your works, not by your actions, not by whatever you're doing right now, we have peace with God. Okay. Now, I want to have harmony with the Spirit and yielding and growing. I don't want to be stagnant and I don't want to be a child. I want to grow up into Him. That's a whole different thing. I always have peace with God because I have the blood of Jesus Christ on my life. Do you realize that? You are welcome into the throne room at any moment that you say, Jesus, I'm in the throne room. We're in the throne room tonight, just like I said, however you want to see it. But I see my wonderful Father and I see His wonderful Son at His right hand, sitting right behind me, before me, all around us, because we have entered tonight in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. That's our wonderful Savior. And that's what we have here. Praise God. But He has empowered us with that peace through our Lord Jesus Christ. And He empowered that wonderful Son to rise from the dead. And that gives us that wonderful peace. And in John 14:28, I'll just quote this. I go to my Father, Jesus said, and my Father is greater than I. And yet I was thinking again, isn't it wonderful that that wonderful Father put everything back into His Son and in that wonderful name for man. And there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. And that's why I can claim Him and I can say that my God is my God of peace. That's the peace that we have. See, when you don't believe that Jesus Christ loves you and loves you forever and there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God, you will never have complete peace in your life. Eternal security is huge. You're only going to go so far. You've got to get over that. It's not you that does the keeping. It's Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, that He does. That's why I have peace. That's why I can go home and sleep well tonight. Thank you, Lord. That's why I can claim victory in my God of peace. Because He is the shepherd, and it's all through His blood, and it's in that everlasting covenant. Okay, verse 21. Make you perfect. Ooh, can you imagine that? Yes, by the grace of God, we have that ability. It's in you. Praise Him. Making you perfect in every good work to do His will. Working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. So not only do I get to be perfect in doing the good work to do His will, He's working that in me, which is well-pleasing in His sight, because that's what that is, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now again, how are we perfected in every good work to do His will? By God working that which is well-pleasing in His sight. And God works in us in one way, and there's only one thing that's well-pleasing in His sight, and that's Jesus Christ. Is it that simple, or is it that simple? Get rid of self-righteousness. Oh, Jesse, get rid of self-righteousness. It's easy. It's pure. I love to come clean to Jesus Christ. It makes me feel so comfortable because He sees me. I'm completely unclothed before my Lord and Savior. He knows everything about me. You may be able, like we say, to fool one another, to fool me. I don't know why we'd want to do that in a sense anyways. But you're never going to fool God. He knows you. Get real with Him. Get real with Him. It's the most beautiful thing when you can just walk in harmony with Him and say, Lord, you know, yeah, you created this miserable thing. And I'm a wreck, and I know all these things, and you even know better all these weaknesses than I do because you've allowed me to have them. But by your grace, let me get into that strength, into the power of the Son of God, who I am, and let's take care of business. What do you think of that? I love that. And that's how God talks to me. And I appreciate Him, and I can talk to Him as my friend. I can tell Him how I'm feeling. I can talk to Him as my Father, and I appreciate that. And most importantly, I can talk to Him as my love because of what He's doing in my life. But again, what a mockery when man thinks that we can, in ourselves, communicate or gain access to or please God without His Son. It's in His Son, and it's always in grace. Anything good that will ever come out of the human race is by and through Jesus Christ. Okay? You got that? I think He's told us that about 400 million times throughout just this little study. I love it. But we're a weak creature, aren't we? And I beseech you in the 22nd verse, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in few words. Paul again is saying, I'm praying to God that you would suffer the word of exhortation. You wonder what that exhortation is? It's your calling. It's looking forward, hallelujah, to what God has put before you. And there's going to be sufferings to get it. I want to tell you, there is, but there's sweetness in that because we know what the reward is right now. The power of God in us. The same things that I've done, you'll do, and even greater things, because I went to my Father. And again, the greatest work is this wonderful suffer of exhortation, which again is the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I just love how He lays this out. Again and again, He is calling us in to the best, the very best, to be one with His wonderful Son, to rule and reign with Jesus Christ. This is pressing toward the mark of the high calling of God. And what a letter this Hebrew has been. I appreciate it so much. Such few words. And it really are few words. This whole word of God is few words. People think it's big, but again, how unfathomable the meaning of it. Verse 23. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he come shortly, I will see you. And I appreciate this. More proof again that this is Paul mentioning Timothy, speaking of Timothy's freedom in Christ. There's such a precious thing about having a freedom in Christ. And Paul exhorted that. He said the same faith that was in his mother and in his grandmother was in this young man. See, you can see the faith. It wasn't a genetic thing. It was something that was God-given, wasn't it? Hallelujah. It was something that was given by the blood of Jesus Christ, again, by the grace of God. And this, again, this freedom that he was talking about was his natural freedom, because unlike Paul, Paul was in a dungeon. So again, this is another proof that this was Paul writing this wonderful letter via the Holy Spirit. All right, 24 and 25 in closing. Salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints, they of Italy salute you. Grace be with you all. Amen. Again, this is the third time in this chapter, reminding and encouraging us, believers, to have the right love attitude towards your leaders. It's an important thing. It's very important. And I think it's kind of interesting that we're at this juncture in our lives and as this congregation. I hope you know I didn't try to intentionally plan this to get your sincere support. You support God. You support God. And you know God is for this ministry. I can boldly say that I know the Lord has His hand on this place. I can boldly say that the Lord has His hand on me. But it's not because of me. It's not because of you. It's because of Jesus Christ and His great grace. He wants us to grow up into Him into all things. He wants us to come to have a full knowledge of Him. And He said, you know what? I'm going to give you every tool. I'm going to give you every ability. I'm going to give you every opportunity because I want you to run and I want you to finish that course with joy. And that is our wonderful Savior. But this salute is an embrace, and it's to embrace one another. It's embracing me and one another in this congregation in what? In love. Grace be with you all. Amen. And I want to mention one last thing in closing. Brother Copley noted this wonderful grace. This was the customary close of Paul's letters. Every one of Paul's letters said about grace and the grace of God. Grace be with you all. But it was really interesting in this letter and this whole 13 chapters of Hebrews, the word grace is only mentioned 8 times. 8 times. Can you imagine that? I just think it's awesome. Because if there was ever a book of grace, it's the book of Hebrews. It was all over it, wasn't it, brothers and sisters? It's been a mighty study for me. I appreciate Him so. I have to tell you, He's allowed me to glean things out of here that I've never seen. I pray it's been good for you. I pray that the love of God towards us increases, that we would enter by His grace into more love for one another through this study. And truly, as we began, it was good. Everything was good, wasn't it? How God said it's good. And then it got better. And it got better and better. And it gets so better, Paul, he finally had to say, we're going to have to end this thing, brother. Because there's no more words for it, is there? What a day it's going to be, brothers and sisters. Praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed.